TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. The Impact of the WTO on Food and Agriculture. Voices from England and France. The World Trade Organization already has enormous power over what we eat and how it is produced. That became apparent in Seattle at the meeting of the WTO in December 1999. A well-attended teach-in of the International Forum on Globalization dedicated a whole panel to the issue of agriculture. The U.S. is now the biggest producer of genetically altered crops, and people in the U.S., unbeknownst to them, have become the world's biggest consumers of genetically modified foods. In contrast, European farmers and consumers have resisted such crops and foods, and research there shows some of the risks of genetic engineering. Today you will hear from Tim Lang, professor of food policy from England, and José Bové, goat farmer from the south of France. You may have heard José Bové's name in conjunction with large peasant demonstrations against McDonald's and the Novartis seed company. But here first is Tim Lang, a former farmer, now professor of food policy at Thames Valley University in England. He is a director of Parents for Safe Food and author of The Unmanageable Consumer, a book on the impact of the globalization project on public health around the world. Tim Lang.
I want to give you five thoughts on food. My first point is that actually food is one of the areas where we know the alternatives to globalization. It's one of the areas where the other side are so frightened of the alternative view that they try to destroy the people who represent it. We have, if you like, two models for the future. Their model, which is the dominant model, which is being steamrolled over us at the moment, and which the GATT and the WTO clearly promote. On the one hand, it says continue intensifying, not just on the land, but off the land. Intensify food factories. Those of you here earlier in this session about labour, that's what's happening in food factories. You get factories where there are basically replacement of labour by machines. It's not just in agriculture that intensification is happening. Our view is extensify. Their view is a global Ford Motor Company type model of food production, where food is reassembled, like a car today is reassembled, from production factories and sites all over the world, which is why they want global rules, to be able to go wherever land, labour and commodities can be produced cheaply. Our vision is to relocalise, get that absolutely clear. The local is good. To protect the local and rebuild the local is essential. Their view is to de-skill people. I have just published for my health education authority in Britain a big report on 5,500 people showing that the British now no longer cook. This is an official government body production. No wonder people don't know about their food. No wonder they're nervous and neurotic about it. They've been de-skilled systematically. Our vision is to re-skill them. A country and a culture where people can't cook is a dependency culture. They want us dependent. Their vision is short term, usually 1 year. Our vision is long term sustainability. Their vision is monoculture, larger land holdings. Our vision is diversity. I always say, the task for us is to get biodiversity into the field and into our stomachs. The reality is we reduce our biodiversity. We go into supermarkets in the rich countries and see 20, 25,000 items of food. And they say, look at this choice, this cornucopia we've given you. It's nonsense. I take my students and say, well, we'll now walk down 1 kilometre, 100 yards, something, and you've just passed wheat. And now we'll walk another 200 metres and it's actually dairy fats. And now we'll walk another 200 metres and it's potatoes. In fact, the biodiversity is not in the fields and nor is it on the supermarket shelves. It's mock diversity. It's brands. It's brands. Their vision is brands. Our vision is real diversity. Their vision is technical fixes. You're ill, you go to the doctor. You're ill, we'll give you a functional food. Our view is that health comes from systems. Their view is that the market economy is a mega market economy. Our view is the real market economy, where there are lots of producers serving the needs of lots of consumers. Their vision is burgerization. Our vision is local food specialities. You see sameness coming everywhere. It's a bit like the Maling of the world, or Mauling, as you say. Their vision is fast food, bland food, sweet food, tasteless food. Our view is slow food. Slow food where you exchange, you have socialization over food. Their view is food as fuel. Our view is food as meaning. I think we have realistic alternatives. And I think the reason food is such an astonishing trouble spot for the globalizers at the moment is because increasing billions know that our view makes sense. My second point is the point that all the speakers made so beautifully last night, which is that the GATT, this new meeting at Seattle, is a defining moment in a very long historical struggle. I won't bore you with Tim Lang's view of food history, but essentially I think that there has been a titanic struggle over the last 200 years, almost definitely 500 years, that we're seeing a new phase of today. The titanic struggle is between those who want to control food and control us through food and control nature as food versus what I call food democracy. The view that everyone has the right to food, that there is enough food to go around, and that it's our duty to look after how we produce food. In this titanic struggle, the transnational corporations are the new food baronial class. They need taming. They are frightened of democracy. They don't want to have things in the open. That's why they do these deals behind closed doors. They talk about the power of consumers. The consumer is sovereign. It's nonsense. The power is neither with primary producers nor with consumers, but with the distributor and the trader. In the modern food economy, the supermarket is king. We need to be very clear about this, because they set the contracts and the specifications right down the chain. The key thing in the modern food economy is supply chain management. This isn't democracy. And one of the illustrations that troubles me greatest in the last Uruguay-Rwanda agreement, in the sanitary and phytosanitary standards and technical barriers to trade elements, was the transfer of power over food standards to the Codex Alimentarius Commission, a body of the United Nations that frankly is corrupt. And I did, together with NADA's organization in the States, we did a transatlantic two-year review of how Codex works. This is the body that arbitrates on food disputes. 2,750 people sit on Codex over a two-year cycle. Of the participants at Codex meetings, one quarter to one third come from transnational corporations, and this is supposed to be a meeting of governments. So you get the 10 agrochemical companies that sell 94% of all the agrochemicals in the world sitting in the meeting setting standards for pesticide residues. Did you know that? It is an absolute disgrace. Your government, my government, everyone's government signed on to that. Go home and stop it. Now, My third point is that globalization has immense implications for health. Now, the new book that I'm just producing in the spring is actually on this. The last one was The Unmanageable Consumer. The new one, we don't know the title yet, but it's temporarily called Food Globalization and Health. And there are four, health and food are basically like a four-legged stool. The four legs hold up this stool. And on all four legs, there is trouble. The first is inequalities. The World Health Organization calculates that 800 million people are malnourished by any account. 2 billion, that's one-third of humanity, suffer food-related serious diseases. Diabetes, just to take one that I work on, is doubling in the next 25 years. Doubling. This is a diet-related disease. Its social inequalities are massive. The second leg is what we call the nutrition transfer. The GATT basically liberated Western, Northern, rich food companies to penetrate areas where they do not have the same profile of Western diseases. In other words, we're selling them heart disease. We're selling them food-related cancers. And already in a country like Brazil, India, China, you're seeing with the urbanization and westernization of lifestyles, the arrival of Western brands, you're seeing the health profile merge with the schizophrenic front. There is still massive social inequalities related malnutrition, inadequacy due to lack of money to afford a decent diet, plus now the Western diseases on top. Can China, can India, can Brazil afford coronary bypass operations? The costs are externalized. This is absolutely critical, damaging analysis for the globalizers. They want to sell Coca-Cola, sell McDonald's in China, but not pay for the heart disease. The third leg is food safety. Now, I come from the land of the mad cow. I bring you greetings from the land of the mad cow. Moo, as we say, followed by boo. Food safety, Jose and I were just talking about it. This is Europe's great contribution to the anti-globalization movement. We have basically got scandal after scandal after scandal. That is why our governments are now so frightened of the issue of food safety. But the globalizers want to try and narrow attention onto what they can control. They have technical fixes for food safety. Irradiate it. Don't resolve food's poisoning at source, which is what public health says do. Do a technical fix. Or blame the victim for not being able to manage their food correctly. So food safety is a critical issue. And the fourth, that you know as well as I do, is the issue of environment. The nature of production matters as much as the diet that we eat. In fact, the movement, that's the key point. The new food movement has basically reminded the medics, the medical model people, that it isn't just what diet we eat that has a health outcome, but how that food has been produced. This is our great contribution. We have, therefore, a choice of models for food and health. On the one hand, an individualized model that says rich consumers can buy their way out by getting the best food, raiding the world's biodiversity, telling everyone else to look after their own diets, eating lots of fresh greens grown millions of miles away. Technical fixes endlessly, but the costs externalized for everyone else. Or what we call an ecological public health approach, a population approach that says if my fellow citizen isn't eating, therefore it cannot be a healthy society. And this is my final point. Food is so important because I think the public around the world is wising up. They are learning through food both the dangers and the threats of globalization. The people are stirring. everywhere, not just in rich countries, but in low-income countries too. There is a fantastic solidarity through food. There is a new, what I call, food literacy. People having to relearn old truths. The challenges are immense, but the issues are complex. Don't let us think it's all simple. It isn't. We are often colluding and participating in our own downfall. I was drinking bottled water there. I don't agree with bottled water. It is crazy. But we know enough already to terrify the pants off the Gattaisers, the globalizers. We know enough that there are other ways of doing it. We need to protect and nurture these alternatives, to rebuild a real local food economy, to build the real market economy, not their pastiche, their mega market economy. The simple choices are actually available to us. And above all, I think we need to, and this was well said last night, we need to link all sectors. Unless all sectors are linked, the national, the local, the regional, the global, the food, the non-food, we don't have a chance in hell of defeating the other side. They are very powerful.
That was Tim Lang, professor of food policy at Thames Valley University and author of The New Protectionism with Colin Hines and The Unmanageable Consumer. Next up is José Bové, goat farmer and cheesemaker from the south of France. He and his fellow farmers in the Confederation of Peasants exemplify the creative resistance to the secret power of the World Trade Organization, while his own government and the European Commission said they were unable to help them. In August of 1999, they found that the WTO had given permission to the U.S. to impose huge retaliatory tariffs on French exports of cheese. José Bové's Roquefort was one of those cheeses. The WTO had allowed the action after the U.S. had lodged a formal complaint with the WTO that France refused to allow the import of hormone-laced U.S. beef. Here is José Bové.
We saw a list of products of France and Europe, and we are in a little area in the south of France, and we're very surprised to see that our cheese was on this list. It was the first time that we had to do something with WTO. We didn't think that we are in our farms in the south of France, WTO is going to come and see us. But in fact, that was it. So we went to see the French government. We went to see also in Brussels, the European Commission. And we asked them, what can we do? What are you going to do for us? What are you going to do with that sentence? And all of them said, but we can't do anything. When WTO decides something, we can't do anymore. So you go back to your farm and you wait and see. And we came back and we asked to the farmers, what are we going to do now? And we have a big meeting and the farmers decide we have to make a demonstration to show that to people, to French people, that WTO can have a direct effect on your own life. And that's why we decide to go to demantel a McDonald's. Why did we go to demantel McDonald? Well, I think you know more than us what kind of food you eat inside, huh? So, but we are discovering all that. And what we are discovering is not very good. So we prefer you keep this at the United States. We But what we see is the kind of food is there. Of course, it's a real globalization. You can eat the same Big Mac in Mio, where I live, in Seattle, in Singapore, and everywhere in the world, you can eat the same thing. There's no more culture. There's no more difference between food. And it's very the most basic way to eat. And I'm not sure if that really is eating, but that's what they say. But that's not only food. It's also industrial agriculture, because we know that to make that kind of food, it's not a family farm who makes that food. It's industrial food. We know that there is only one kind of potatoes in all the world to make those kind of chips. There's only three kind of salad all over the world. And we know also that the meat which is inside is the worst meat you can find. And when they all mixed this, they say that's meat, but I'm not sure it's really meat, but they say it's meat. So we talk about meat. It must be all equal. The quantity of fat in each Big Mac must be the same, and the same in everywhere in the world. And the ships have to be the same size everywhere. So that's very an industrial way and an industrial conception of agriculture. So if this goes on everywhere in the world, farmers, we don't need any more farmers to do such things. And it was also a symbol of a big multinational corporation, and that for those three reasons, we decided also to go against McDonald's. And for us also, but McDonald's is only a symbol, because there are many kind of McDonald's, and we have also other kind of McDonald's also in France. So what we have to say is very clear. That was not an action against American people, but it's an action against an ideology, market trade, free trade ideology. So people were telling us, you're crazy to do that. It's impossible to win in front of WTO. But so we tell them, if we don't try, we won't win. So we're trying. And we believe we can win, because 2 years ago, the same people were telling us, it's impossible to go against the big corporation like Monsanto or Novartis. And in 1998, in January, and the 7th of January, for the first time, we make a big demonstration, and we went into Novartis, where they put they keep the seeds. The GMO seeds, we went into there and we destroyed all the seeds. Of course, after that, we went in front of the court, but we are used of that. And Vandana Shiva went to support us in the court. And that was the beginning of a big movement in France, and farmers, consumers, all kind of citizens were with us, and we had a big fight during 2 years. And the multinational, they were telling us in 2 years ago, that in France, they're going to put 35,000 hectares of GMO corn. And at the end of the year, the struggle was so big that they only put 1,200 hectares. So that was quite great. But this year, only 2 years after the beginning, they say that there is only 200 hectares. So it's finished for them. So we don't say that we have win, but it's the beginning of a movement. And that means that when we can make some demonstration, when people work together, we can win against the big multinational. Yeah. So, that's why we are here today, French delegation, farmer from Confédération Paysanne, but also from Europe, all the farmers from Via Campesina, we are all together here in Seattle to work with other people, with consumers, with workers, with NGOs, and with everybody. Because what we think that only farmers alone won't win, consumers alone won't win, workers won't win alone. We must be all together. And I want to tell you that if we did this action, and if we destroyed seeds in Novartis firm corporation, it's because we were looking to the form of action you did when you were not even still a country. We say that's what they did already in Boston with the Tea Party. So what we say now is that you have to do it again. You have to liberate yourself. Thank you.
That was José Bové, French goat farmer, cheesemaker, and leader in the Confederation of Peasants. He and Tim Lang were recorded at the teach-in of the International Forum on Globalization on the WTO, in Seattle in November 1999. You can get a 60-minute tape with José Bové and Tim Lang for $12. Or you can get an 80-page transcript of the whole WTO series on issues of biotechnology, genetic engineering, privatization, water and food security, and much more for $12 as well. For a credit card order, call toll-free 1-877-TUC-TAPE. That's 1-877-TUC-TAPE. Or send your check to TUC Radio, Box 410009, San Francisco, California, 94141. That's Box 410009, San Francisco, California, 94141, USA. TUC Radio's website is www.tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.